be on. There we go. Can you hear me? You can hear me, right? Okay, good. Mandy, thank you for leading worship this morning. And thank you, Selma. It's great. Today we're going to look at something that we all love to talk about, and that is revenge or vengeance. We've been walking through... Sorry, I got to get myself prepared. I need room. There we go. We've been walking through the life of David, a man after God's own heart. And last week we saw David kind of lose it. He had a meltdown being stalked by his enemy Saul. And David leaned on all the other things around him until God slowly removed all those things that he was leaning on, until all that was left was him and God. Well, today we're going to see what happens in David's heart when he meets up with vengeful temptation. Because vengeance is tempting. Revenge is tempting. I don't know if you've been there at all, tempted to revenge or venge. But maybe you've been like this guy. Do you want to show this, Chris? Maybe you may need to turn some lights off. I don't know. But you want to show this? Have you ever been there? Ever been there? You can all go home. You got the point. No, I'm just kidding. Where do I go from that? That was... But it's true. I mean, we're just in that place where it's like, what can I do to get back? Ever been there? You know what I'm talking... Most of you, I think, kind of know what I'm talking about. Don't you? Huh? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, pray for the liars in the room. First Samuel 24, I invite you to turn there. It's a great passage of Scripture, and I love Samuel. I love where we've been journeying over this past while. First Samuel 24, it's a great passage of Scripture. We're going to go through this whole thing today. So get your runway gear on, because we're going to go fast through this. 1 Samuel 24, starting at verse 1. Okay, 1 Samuel, got it? After Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, David is in the desert of En-Gedi. That was actually a very peaceful place, by the way. It was a very nice kind of a valley type thing. It was a very nice place, chosen place to go. So Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and set out to look for David and his men near the crags of the wild goats. He came to the sheep pens along the way. A cave was there, and Saul went in to relieve himself. David and his men were far back in the cave. And the men said, "This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, 'I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish.'" Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. May God add his blessing to his word today. You see, vengeance is determined by conscience. By conscience. Our conscience is the ability to sense what is right, what is wrong. If I do this, it's right. If I do this, it's wrong. And David was in that moment right now. I mean, I love this. it just shows you that the Bible is a real living book. Because in the midst of this mad rush for vengeance, Saul must answer the call of nature. I got to take my suit jacket off. I'm just getting hot just thinking how I'm going to tell you guys this story. Here's Saul over here. I was going to get somebody up to do this, but it's too embarrassing. He's up here. His robe is dang, and he's doing what we do, okay? Normally. And then you got David. Okay, here's Saul crouching in the privacy of a cave. But not just any cave. I love it. He's right in the mouth of the cave where David and his men were hiding. Now you talk about an opportunity. You talk about being in the very presence of the enemy. You get to see, well, you know what he saw. If you ever want to test the spiritual life of a person, you ask what to do when your enemy is very vulnerable. And unless they're walking with God, like really close to him, they'll tell you to strike every time. Did you know that? Go for it. Now look at this. This is what David meant. Psst, here's the man. David, here's the opportunity. Get him. David, psst. This is God's way of providing you a chance to move into the position that he's promised for you as king. Kill him. See, remember? These men, they've been trained to fight. And here stands their enemy, most vulnerable. I don't think you can get more vulnerable than nature's call. And he's right there. Go get him, David. This is it. God is giving this to you. It's one of those moments that I like to call a goat God moment. You know, when we really want something to support our idea, we say, well, the Lord led me. Or the Lord told me to. You know? You know, the Lord gets blamed for all sorts of things he has nothing to do with. Did you figure that out? You know? They said, David, God's put him right there. Here's your sword. Well, can't you see? This is an absolute precious moment in the Bible. The realness of God comes through. I can see, you know, here's David. Here's his man. There's Saul. And I can just see David. And I can see the men going, what is with you? Kill him! You don't know what? You're not doing this right. But instead of gloating or glorifying over what the Lord, what he had done, David, he became troubled almost immediately. Like, look at verse 5. Look at verse 5 here. It says, afterward, David was conscience stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe. It got to him. Has anything ever gotten to you? You know, it got to be. Have you ever had your conscience bother you to the point where you're just like, you know, you're a mess? It seems we always get one whenever we need a conscience. David was conscience stricken. Why? Because he could have killed Saul. But he didn't. All he did was cut off part of the king's robe. What's the big deal in that? Who cares about part of the robe? I mean, so his hem wasn't level anymore. I don't. Who's going to notice? And that's the way we try to rationalize temptation. It doesn't really matter. I remember my mother, we were in Oregon, and my parents were with us. I got to pick this up because otherwise I'll have a dry cleaning bill. We were there, and we went to this little kind of little boutique. We were driving around in the kind of the back roads and stuff, and there was this nice little kind of boutique place. And so we went there, went in, because my mom said, oh, it's a little boutique, let's go in. So we go in and stopped and went in and looked around and stuff. And as we were leaving, she bought some stuff. But she bought postcards. Does anybody know what postcards are? Some of you do, some of you don't. Explain to the other people, please. Postcards. And she picked up these postcards. She had them in her hand. She was so excited. They were four for a dollar. And she kept saying, these are four for a dollar. Are they four for a dollar? Are these four for a dollar? She kept asking. They were nice big postcards. And the guy who owned the place, he said, yeah, they're four for a dollar. She said, wow, that's cheap. Four for a dollar. She said, these are four for a dollar. She was even kind of trying to get us to buy some, you know, like, you should buy some. These are only a dollar. You know, four for a dollar. We're thinking 25 cents for a postcard. But anyway, they were hand-drawn postcards. Really kind of cool. Actually, they were really neat. So we go out, we get into our vehicle, and I'm starting to drive away as any wonderful son does. I'm driving away. And as I'm leaving, I hadn't got really too far, and all of a sudden my mom yells, stop! Okay, now, when you're driving, and you need to know this, when you're driving and you hear somebody yell, stop! You accelerate a little bit, actually. You do. You go a little bit faster, and then you realize, wait a minute, I got to get on the brake. And I thought, something's happened. You know, I'm missing something. Did somebody crash into it? I mean, I'm trying to figure out what's going on. So I stopped. And my mom goes, I got one extra postcard. I said, what? Yeah, I got five. I said, oh, okay. My dad goes, good deal. She goes, turn this vehicle around. I said, Mom, listen, turn it around. I have to go back. Okay, we're in the woods. I mean, this is like, I have to maneuver this thing. You know, I'm trying to, okay, so I try. By the way, the next thing you can do to a driver is say, turn this vehicle around. So I turn the vehicle around. Jeff Gordon in the plush. So we zip back, we get, and the owner is just locking up. He's coming out. My mom rolls down the window, and she goes, I'm sorry. He said, what's the problem? Did you forget something? No. Yes, she said, I got five postcards. He said, oh, well, good for you. She said, no, I only paid for four. He said, oh, it doesn't matter. No, but I only paid for four. And she's rummaging through her purse. He said, no, it doesn't matter. She said, yes, it does. It matters. And she's rummaging through. She said, I got to find, does anybody have a quarter? I mean, she's panicking. She's going out, and he's going, I want to go home. I want to go home. It doesn't matter. She says, yes, it does. My dad says, it doesn't matter. We're all saying it doesn't. Yes, it does matter. She gets that quarter out. She hands it to the guy and goes, thank you. And as we're driving away, I said, I think there was tax. No, I didn't do that. So I knew I'd have to turn around again. But you see, there is a point to that. And I really don't know what it is, but it's coming to me. No, there is no such thing as a small step on the road to temptation. My mom could have easily just kept that postcard. She could have easily just said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But that's subtle ways of being tempted. And when we're on the path to revenge, we're on the path of retaliation, a small step in that direction is a wrong step. And my mom knew that, you know, sure, maybe it doesn't matter they have that fifth postcard, but she knew it mattered in her relationship with God. David cut off part of the king's garment, and now he began to experience justified guilt. You see, when you really want to walk with God, you desire to come to terms with every detail. You get bothered by little things. Your conscience just bothers you when you snap back, even when it's just those one-sentence statements. You have to make it right. You can't let yourself get away with it. It's when we get away with it and we tell ourselves, well, this doesn't matter, that we're on the one-way road sliding neck deep into temptation. And David said, this is not right. I can't do that. And it bothered him. He was conscience-stricken. If you look at verse 6, I love this. He said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lift my hand against him, for he is the anointed of the Lord. And with these words, David rebuked his men and didn't allow them to attack Saul, and Saul left the cave and went his way. Now, I think we would probably say he's crazy. But I know I was in the police band, many years ago, and some great stories there, but that's for another time. But I was in the police band in Regina, and I remember that there would be inspection time, and they would drill us. Of course, beforehand, the director would always say, okay, now the police chief is coming, and he's going to be doing the inspecting. And remember, don't salute the man, you salute his uniform, his rank. He's the chief of police. You act like he's the chief of police. You don't care who's behind and in those clothes, but he is the chief. So, okay, the police chief would come, and he'd do the inspection, and boy, we were all like that. We'd listen to every word, you know. And the director would say, you know, we'd ask him, you know, do you know the police chief? Oh, yeah, quite well, yeah. Do you like him? Hey, it doesn't matter. He's the chief. See, that's what David's saying. Saul's the king. He's an anointed king. No matter how unfair he's been to me, I haven't any business going and cutting off his robe and doing that to him. I don't have any business doing that. Because he's the king. See, God lays out authority. Did you know that? For a reason. Sometimes we don't like his choices. But that's not up to us. That's up to God. Vengeance is determined by our conscience. What are you going to do at that moment? Are you going to do what God calls you to do, or are you going to do what you want to do? Conscience. The next thing, our vengeance is determined by commitment. How committed are we? I mean, David declared this righteous principle. I mean, had Saul been in the wrong? Absolutely. Saul was trying to kill him. Was it David's job to make it right? Absolutely not. That was God's job. And David realized that. He saw that even in his little sarcasm, a little mockery, and his little trim, that was the flesh. And he says, that's not right. There's a righteous principle that I'm breaking. I got to stay committed. And I think his friends were saying, you better be committed. And then he starts talking to his buddies, and he starts saying, wait a minute, guys, look at this. And that, I love that verse. I love verse 7 because it shows the leadership of David. He rebuked his men. He didn't allow them to attack Saul. What a godly leader. He did the right thing. He brought the whole group with him. He persuaded them with his words. I love what the Hebrew, I like throwing Hebrew around just to impress you. But no, really, the Hebrew word, it means pierced through, torn apart, ripped up. He rebuked them. He tore them apart. He got right through, cut to the core. It's the same root word in the Hebrew of Isaiah 53 where it says, he was wounded for our transgressions. Same thing. David got through. And I would venture to say that their discussion wasn't like, well, hey, you know, should you have done that, David? I don't know. Do you think maybe you should have done something a little different? I don't think it was a meek and mild discussion. I think it was like, well, he tried to kill you. Don't be nice to him, David. What's wrong with you? This is not how a person reacts, David. Do you realize that? Are you crazy? Kill him. Don't restore him. But David stayed committed to what was right until they were persuaded. When you're committed to God, you're committed to the things of God. And when you're committed to the things of God, you understand that vengeance is not for you to determine, but only God to administer. Vengeance will just continue to grow and grow and grow in you the more you feed it. The more vengeful you are, the more you're going to feed that vengefulness. And David knew that. This is something we need to remember. There are many moments when we're persuaded to go against what's right. In our job, at school, in business, even our lifestyles. Compromising often is a norm. Temptation to rationalize our behavior, like, kill him, David. God has given you this opportunity. That's often where we go. God says, get back where you belong. Live right, and you'll be right. Well, what will people think if I start really living like that? If I start really looking at myself and maybe I did take the 5 postcards. Why should I turn around? You know what? Who knows who could possibly be persuaded if you walked with God that close and stayed committed? See, we need to start challenging the people we're around even every day with that challenge in a relaxed way that I got to live right. Not preachy, because that's wrong too, but just live. Live your life right, committed to the things that are right with God. Honest, bone-deep, non-hypocritical integrity. Authentic, vulnerable obedience to God. Just be you. Not what everyone else wants you to be. Be you. Well, vengeance is determined by conscience, commitment, and confidence. Confidence, I love it. David persuaded the men because he had absolute confidence in God. David wrestled with his guilt. He hung his life on what was right in the eyes of God. And then he stood fast in absolute confidence in God to make the situation right. Even when he looked in the face of opposition. See, I think David understood. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Can you say, vengeance is God's? Can you say, he will repay?
He will repay.
So I can let it go.
You got it.
Oh, that's great. Put your confidence in that. See, David's son, Solomon, he understood that. You know, it's funny. As parents, we don't know how much we shape our kids. Listen, you shape your kids in a big way as parents. Solomon was shaped by David. And look what Solomon penned these words. He said, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. See, Solomon knew. He knew that that's a promise. He knew from his dad. Now, if you notice, there's something that isn't added in that verse, the word easy, because that's not easy. It's true. It's not that you can choose to do this. You can choose to let the vengeance go, but most people likely will not because it's not easy to do that. And listen, if you say, I'm going to really encourage you today, because if you say, well, that's it, I'm going to start today letting go of this. I'm going to start getting back to where God wants me. I'm going to start doing what's right. I'm going to start doing these three things in my life. I'm going to start checking my conscience. I'm going to stay committed to what's right. And I'm going to make sure that my confidence is only in God. I'll tell you right now that it's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. Get ready for the battle for your life, not just in your life, but for your life, because you are surrounded by people who don't want to do that. And before you get offended, I'm not talking about us just in this room or those by internet. I'm making a statement that even in Christian colleges, seminaries, you'll come across people who will operate in the flesh. I mean, there are pastors who do. People in the mission field do. You will come across competitive people, people who are out for what they want, selfish people. It's a battlefield. And the battle is getting hotter every day. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Look at verse 8. David went out of the cave, called out to Saul, my lord, the king. When Saul looked behind him, David bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. Saul finished in the cave. He goes outside. David clutches that piece of robe in his hand. He goes after the king. He's calling out to him. King notices this is his sworn enemy, and then David just falls, bows before him. Are you getting this? This makes no sense. See, how dare David do such a thing? And you can do the right thing when your confidence is in God and not in your senses, your feelings. And then David says, I love this. Said to Saul, why do you listen when men say David is bent on harming you? This day you've seen with your own eyes how the Lord delivered you into my hands in the cave. Some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, I will not lift my hand against my master because he is the Lord's anointed. See, my father, look at this piece of your robe in my hand. I cut off the corner of your robe, but did not kill you. Now understand and recognize that I am not guilty of wrongdoing or rebellion. I've not wronged you, but you are hunting me down to take my life. May the Lord judge between you and me. And may the Lord avenge the wrongs you've done to me, but my hand will not touch you. See, David lets Saul have all the grace. He just says, I'm not going to kill you. I know you're out to kill me. I know for one moment, I wanted to kill you. I sought revenge. And I went mad trying to get there. But I realize I just have to tell you that I still look at you as my authority. And Saul responded back to that. Verse 16, David finished saying all this. Saul said, is that your voice, David, my son? And he wept aloud. You are more righteous than I, he said. You've treated me well, but I have treated you badly. You have just now told me of the good you did to me. The Lord delivered me into your hands, but you did not kill me. When a man finds his enemy, does he let him get away unharmed? May the Lord reward you well for the way you treated me today. I know that you will surely be king and that the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hands. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will not cut off my descendants or wipe out my name from my father's family. David gave his oath to Saul. Saul returned home. David and his men went up to the stronghold. See it? Do you see? When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Do you see this? Now, if we only had a written guarantee that when you do right, your enemy will always see the error of their ways, quickly repent, and then you're their hero. But you're responsible for telling a person the truth. But they're responsible for their response, not you. They're responsible for their response, not you. You can't make them respond the way you want them to. I remember in grade one. Anybody remember grade one? A few of you? Yes? Hello? Anybody? Hello? Are you guys here today?
Yes.
Oh, good. Great. Thank you. Grade one. I remember in grade one, I was walking home, and there was a whole bunch of kids around. School was just out, and there was this... There's this kid, kindergarten kid. He was walking away, and somebody called out to him from behind me, okay? And he had a mud ball, and he just flung that mud ball, went right past me, zing, and hit this kid right in the glasses. He had glasses right here, right in his face, all over. Mud ball. I'm just, you know, I didn't know these two parties at all, but this guy turns around and he goes, I'm going to get you! I'm going to get you! So I'm looking around. There's nobody around. And I'm going, who's he going to get? Like, well, hello. You know, I was it. And, you know, I kind of, you know, those moments when you just, everything starts to go in slow motion, you know, because then you're in it. You know, have you ever had that happen? You know, and all of a sudden it was like, no, I didn't do it. You know, but it was like, because I was looking, and he's looking at me and he's going, no, you're getting it. And he's grabbing through the dirt, and I'm trying to run, you know, like the $6 million man. You know, because it's all in slow motion, the $6 million man. And you know, and he's picked up this, and he's throwing mud balls at me, and I'm trying to get away, and I'm ducking, and I'm, you know, because I kept saying, I didn't do it, I didn't do it, but I got the blame. In high school, he still believed I did that. I think he probably still does. He's probably in counseling for that. I don't know. But I told him, I said, my conscience is clear. Now, he may die believing that lie, but down deep inside, I know it's the truth. And that may happen to you. You may be blamed for something you never had anything to do with. Saul admitted, David, you're the man here, not me. Then he asked for this favor, and David spared his family, and he assumes the crown as king, and David kept his promise. You know it's not easy to make a choice not to revenge. Did you know it's not easy to make a decision to show mercy and grace to your enemy? Did you know that that's the hardest thing to do in life? And if you don't believe me, talk to Jesus. Because that's what he did for you. He did the exact same thing that David did to Saul. For me and for you. He showed mercy and grace, not vengefulness or revenge. See, the desire for vengeance or revenge is so subtle, it creeps up on you, that we don't even notice it. And it could be with an employer or your mate who wasn't there when you needed them most. Maybe mom or dad who failed you, a friend who trusted you with some very personal information and then turned against you, or worse yet, revealed your secret. Maybe a teacher who refused to hear your side and you lost a mark or two. You've been mistreated, maybe. You've been wronged, and you've been waiting for a moment to make things right. This morning you can make things right. This morning you can take your conscience, your commitment, and your confidence and place it all in God's hands. And he'll look after your situation. You don't need to. He will repay, not you. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. As you bow your heads and close your eyes, I just want you to think about it for a moment. If you're resentful or of how you've been treated or holding something against someone, hoping you can get back, you need to ask God to free you from that. Well, how does God free you from that? It's very simple. It's called forgiveness. Claim God's power to forgive through Jesus Christ. Ask God to expose the ugliness of your vengeful heart. You're wanting to get even. And ask him to put it to death. How often do you need to do this? How often are you to get revenge? God says you never get revenge. He doesn't say usually or even sometimes or even occasionally, not even once. Never take your own revenge. We're talking about a personal offense where harm was done to us and we didn't like it. And it's in the past, but often, too often, we keep the past present by choosing not to forgive. You can't change the other person, but you can change how you handle your part through God's power. I'm going to ask you this morning, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you, if you're willing to say, God, I'm done. I'm done blaming. I'm going to leave it with you. I'm going to leave this situation with you, God. I'm going to not blame this person. I'm not going to hold it against them. This living like this is not worth it, God. I want to live the way you've called me to live. I'm going to keep myself in check. I'm going to watch those moments, God, and I'm going to keep myself in check and stay committed to what is right. God awaits your choice. Forgive or fight. So while you're talking to God in that way, if you're talking to him that way today, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you're saying, God, I will forgive. That's it. It's done. You look after it now. If you're willing to say that, just lift your hand up. Just lift your hand up. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you. God sees all those hands. God sees all those hands. God sees them. This morning, you've seen the life of David, and maybe you've heard your friends talk about Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you right now that Jesus Christ died on the cross for all the bad stuff you've done. And maybe you've just never taken him into your life. Maybe you've never said, Jesus, I want you to forgive me. I give you my life. Your friends have talked to you about it, but you've never done that. Well, this morning is your opportunity. Take that. It's a gift given to you. And it's free. You can't earn it, actually. You can't do anything to earn that gift that Jesus died on the cross for your sin. But you need to ask him into your heart. You say, God, I want you to forgive me. I give you my life. I surrender my life to you today. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're making that profession today of saying, Christ, please forgive me. I surrender my life to you. Just lift your head up while every head is bowed, lift your head. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Father God, we have difficulty with what was talked about today. Because, God, sometimes it just doesn't seem so bad to just do some things that, like the 5 postcards. And God, sometimes we tend to rationalize that so much, and yet you call us to live right. You give us a conscience to determine that. So, God, sometimes you work so overtime and just shaping us there, and sometimes we just push you away. Lord, may our confidence just stay firm in you. God, may we be so confident that you will look after all those little details in our life, that we can stay committed to what is right, so that, God, as our conscience begins to work, that it would always work in your favor, not in our flesh. We ask all this, God, so that people would see better who you are, so that you would receive all the glory and all the honor. That's, Lord, our purpose being here today, so that you would receive all glory and all honor in Jesus Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen.